We read a portion of our gospel text, Matthew chapter 9. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and went home. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, your fellow redeemed, I've always found this historical account to be one of the more interesting and fascinating. It was reported that Jesus had come to Capernaum, his town that he now claimed as his home. It also had been reported that he had been performing these real life, unheard of, and you might say unbelievable miracles. And this paralytic and or his friends were among those who had heard about Jesus. And so the decision was made to bring him to Jesus. However, by the time they had come to the house where Jesus was, the crowd was so large that they could not get in. So as we read in the Mark and Luke accounts, they got on the roof. Very possibly there was a stairs going up to the roof. And they removed some of the roof and lowered the stretcher, the bed, the mat, with ropes before Jesus. Now just imagine if you had been there. It would have been quite interesting to watch this. You would have seen a portion of the roof being torn off, and then you would have seen this mat being lowered by ropes with a body on it, right in front of you, right in front of Jesus. I hope that all of us have friends like this who will stop at nothing to bring us to Jesus. Clearly, these friends thought that this man being healed was extremely important to them. And just as clearly, Jesus meant much to these four men as well. But then at that point, the unexpected takes place. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." At this point, one of the things that took place was a reaction by the scribes and the Pharisees, something they did not say out loud, but only thought. "This man is blaspheming." And as we read in the other two gospel accounts, they also said, or they also thought, "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" We'll come back to this later. But there would have been something else that probably happened right away as well. Probably total silence. No one spoke. And the question in the minds of many of them likely would have been, "Jesus, is that all you're going to do? His four friends brought him here to you to be healed because they had heard of your miraculous powers. Are you going to heal him? Or are you just going to announce to him the forgiveness of his sins?" Now, if we think about it, this raises a very interesting theological point. And that theological point can be expressed in the following questions I put before you. If you had the choice between perfect and immediate health or having forgiveness, what would you choose? If you had the choice between having all the money you needed or wanted or having forgiveness, what would you choose? If you had the choice between having a beautiful home and property or getting forgiveness, what would you choose? If you had the choice between having an ideal marriage and family or having forgiveness, what would you choose? If you had the choice between always having the most nutritious and delicious food or having forgiveness, what would you choose? If you had the choice between always being well clothed throughout your life or being granted forgiveness, what would you choose? If you had the choice between living in a free, safe, moral, prosperous, civilized, and just country, or having forgiveness, what would you choose? Or this one. If you had the choice between never contracting a deadly virus that might cause you much suffering, maybe put you in complete isolation, and shorten your life, or having forgiveness, what would you choose? Now you may be thinking, these are not fair questions. And you would be right, for often we can have both, at least to some extent. In other words, generally it is not an either or, but a both and. But the reason to ask these questions is to get us to think about what is more important, what is more helpful, what is more beneficial, what is more comforting, what is more valuable and precious, what is more necessary, and what is more lasting. Forgiveness or some good earthly blessing. Again, consider the man in our text. He was a paralytic, couldn't walk. And Jesus announces forgiveness to him. And he does so as if he was not going to do anything else for him. And as some might have been thinking, well, how in the world does forgiveness benefit this man who can't walk? How is forgiveness more important right then and there compared to healing him? You know, it's really quite easy to think that the message of forgiveness is rather mundane, uninteresting, impractical, or unimportant compared to other needs we have or other things going on around us or within us that need to be fixed. But the really important question is, what does it mean to receive forgiveness of sins? So here's what is really happening when forgiveness is given to somebody by Jesus. Jesus is saying, in forgiving you your sins, I'm going to take away from you, I am going to remove from you what your sins do to you. Your sins have separated you from God. That separation is gone when I forgive you your sins. Also, your sins have brought upon you death. When I forgive you your sins, your death, your eternal death, will no longer come upon you. I am removing death from you. Also, your sins are that which keep you out of heaven. When I forgive you your sins, you cannot and will not be kept out of heaven. Also, your sins are what causes sicknesses and diseases and deformities and all other physical and mental imperfections. When I forgive you your sins, none of these imperfections will accompany your body in heaven. There you will have perfect health forever. And we could go on. Sin is why our homes, our families, our food, our clothing, and our country are not what they should be or could be. There's always something missing. But with forgiveness of sins comes the ideal and real family, with God as our Father and His Son as our brother. With forgiveness comes the perfect banquet. When we are forgiven, we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. With forgiveness, we are given the sweetest and most blessed country, the home of God's elect. In other words, there is no comparison between receiving forgiveness and receiving some temporal earthly healing. St. Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 8, "But he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all," that's where we find forgiveness. "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things?" But going back to our text, we see that after forgiving this paralytic, Jesus also healed him. And why is that? Clearly, Jesus was not just being nice. Again, we read in our text, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say rise and walk?" In other words, Jesus was saying, you know, I can say either one of these easily. "But that you may know," and here's the real key here, "but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," then he said to the paralytic, "rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and went home. In other words, Jesus was proving his authority to forgive sins. "But that you may know that the Son of Man..." Now, I want to just stop there for a second and talk about that title, Son of Man. Don't underestimate or sell short that phrase, the Son of Man. when Jesus uses that title to describe himself, he is not merely saying that he is human, over against the phrase Son of God, which speaks of his divinity, that he is God. No, when the title Son of Man is used by Jesus, it is used by him to designate that he is a man who is also the Almighty Son of God. When Jesus uses that title for himself, Son of Man, he attaches to it all sorts of attributes and actions that can only be said of God. So, for example, we read in all four of the Gospels, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. In other words, the Sabbath is mine. It's mine. I'm the Son of Man. It's mine. The Son of Man, we read, has blood that will pay for the sins of all. We read that the Son of Man has all glory, power, and wrath. The Son of Man will bring judgment and destruction on many and will save others. The Son of Man will come on the last day with all his angels. By the way, there's one place in the Gospel of John where Jesus talks about these angels. And he says, you know, I could just call upon my Father and he would send 72,000 angels. 72,000. The Son of Man has that many angels at least, and he has that power. So the Son of Man isn't merely saying he's a man, saying much more. And we also read that the Son of Man will come on the last day with all his angels, and every single person who has ever lived will appear before him, and he will either bring them to heaven or make them depart to hell. Again, the phrase Son of Man isn't just talking about his humanity, but his divinity, that he is true God. Again, back to our text. But that you may know, he says, but that you may know that I, who claim to be the Son of Man, have the authority and the power right here and now to forgive sins. In order that you may know this, I am going to lay before you the evidence. Now, whether you believe it or not is another matter, but I'm going to lay before you the evidence. Here is the proof. He then said to the paralytic, rise, pick up your mat, and go home. And he rose and he went home. So we have two things done by Jesus here. We have the bestowal of forgiveness, and we have a miraculous healing. And he could do both of these because he was the Almighty Son of Man. But when you reflect on these two amazing things that he did, the healing that he performed was really quite easy. It cost him nothing. He just used his almighty power. But the forgiveness he granted this man, and the forgiveness he bestows upon you and me and all other sinners, that cost him everything. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The cross, the terrible, torturous, fatal cross, is where forgiveness was purchased. So never forget. Your health, your home, your marriage, your family, what you wear, your country, and your very life. None of these is more helpful and beneficial and comforting and valuable and precious and necessary and lasting than the gift of forgiveness. So we take forgiveness seriously. And that means we take our sins seriously. And the only way to take our sins seriously is by owning up to them, by repenting of our sins, by confessing our sins to God. and then we turn to and trust in Christ alone. About 3 years ago, I was sitting at my usual food court mall in San Antonio, Texas, wearing my clerical collar, and I had my sign on my laptop inviting people to sit down for a visit. And a lady by the name of Nora stopped by. She was in an electric wheelchair. She was terribly overweight. She had very poor knees. She was suffering from depression. She was suicidal. And she was in the early stages of Parkinson's. She asked me to pray for her so she could be healed. I said I would, but I also asked her if I could share some other things with her. And she said yes. I told her the reason she was not well was because she and me and everyone else were all partakers, equal partakers, of the fall into sin. I said, sin wrecks everything, including the body. And sooner or later, it catches up with all of us. I told her I would have a prayer for her right then and there, but that I could not guarantee that she would get better, let alone healed. However, I told her, I have something far better than healing for you. There is for you, I said, forgiveness in Christ. Forgiveness because of Christ. And it is free. It is complete. And guaranteed by God Himself in His Word to any and all who repent and believe. It is for you, Nora. And with that forgiveness comes more than you can imagine in the life to come. She was very interested. And so I prayed for her, and I announced to her the forgiveness of her sins. I never saw her again, but I hope I will. I often read to people like Nora verses from Isaiah chapter 40, verses I also read to Sid Berg this last week, the day before he died. And the chapter starts out with similar words of forgiveness that Jesus announced to the paralytic. Those verses read, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and announce to her that her time of hard service is over, that her iniquity has been pardoned, and she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Forgiveness. But then the last verses remind us of what is still to come for those who have repented and believed and received that free forgiveness. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord gives strength to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Youths may become faint and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. they will run and not become weary. They will walk and not faint. I hope when I get to heaven, I will have a foot race with Nora. And if I do, I suspect she might win. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.